Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Quick Lane Tire and Auto Centers, servicing cars and trucks with factory-trained technicians at locations nationwide. Learn more at quicklane.com. And
Esurance, an Allstate company offering mobile apps and 24/7 help online or over the phone. Learn more at esurance.com. And
Angie's List, provider of local consumer reviews on contractors and doctors. Now has reviews on classic car professionals. Details at angieslist.com. And
Tire Rack, offering an online tool for finding tires based on vehicle, needs, budget, and brand at tirerack.com. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Karma Division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Is that like, my karma won't stop? That kind of karma?
No. But you might enjoy this little story that came to us from a listener named Andrew McGee, who writes, "Hey guys, I heard you talking about selling a car recently, and it reminded me of a friend of mine who owned a second-hand Austin Mini back in the early 1980s. Remember those Austin Minis? They were Mini. The car was getting pretty old and had really high mileage. Now, try as he might, he got no offers for the car.
Oh, really? What a surprise.
So in an act of desperation, he decided to clock the vehicle.
Oh.
In other words, turn back the mechanical odometer to lower the mileage so he could unload it, right?
Not nice.
Car more attractive, of course.
No.
So fishing around behind the dashboard, he managed to free the cable from the odometer. It kind of just screws on.
Yeah.
And he was about to start winding back the numbers, you know, with an electric drill, when he felt a piece of paper that had been carefully wrapped around the end of the cable. So he unrolls the paper and sees on it the words, "Oh, no, not again." See, what goes around comes around.
No, I am proud to say I've never done that.
What, clocked back an odometer on a car that you sold? You never did that?
No, never found a note like that.
Well, look, if you've got an honest problem for us, give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Guys, this is Millette, and I'm calling from Fort Worth, Texas.
Millette. How do you spell that?
M-E-L-E-T.
Millette.
Millette. What kind of a name is Millette?
I've never heard that before.
Well, my mother named me after a friend of hers in college, and I believe the friend, she named her daughter Millette, and I believe she made it up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, in the interest of accuracy, I think I'd add another T and another E on the end.
Yeah, sure, Millette.
Yeah, because otherwise it's Malay, isn't it?
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Yeah, Malay, like there was a melee at the soccer match. Anyway, Millette, what's on your mind today?
Well, recently I was driving in a parking lot and wasn't paying enough attention, apparently, and I drove over one of those parking stop things.
Oh, one of those big cement things that are supposed to stop your wheels?
Pretty much, yeah.
And you drove right over it.
The one I drove over was not even just the regular one. It was a slightly taller one.
I mean, like a Jersey barrier? Was it like 2 feet tall?
It was tall.
It was tall, okay.
Anyway, so I drove over it, and of course, immediately freaked out, pulled over, and I heard this horrible scraping noise. So I thought, oh God, I've lost, you know.
I have to ask an embarrassing question, but did you go over it with all four wheels?
No. I turned quickly to the right and tried to get off.
So you went over maybe with one wheel?
Yes.
Oh. Well, good for you.
Was it on the left side or the right side of your car?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah. So what happened, I got out of the car, and really all that I could see that was wrong was that this piece that sort of, it like covers the inside of the wheel well. And it's made of plastic, and it was attached by like six or seven bolts, and it was torn almost all the way off. It was just a touch by one bolt. And so I couldn't drive it like it was, so I tore it the rest of the way off.
So this is you tore off the fender liner.
Okay.
That's that plastic piece that goes right above the tire.
Yes.
You managed to rip off with your bare hands the fender liner.
Yes.
And now you have no fender liner.
Well, it's in my trunk. But, yeah, so my question is that something I need to go get fixed, or is it mostly cosmetic? Is there something unsafe about driving it that way?
Well, there's nothing particularly unsafe, but the fender liner does do a lot of things, mainly prevent stuff that's getting flung by your tires from getting up into pieces that it shouldn't get up into.
Oh, okay.
You know, for example, I don't know what kind of a car you have. You didn't divulge that.
2005 Honda Accord.
If you were to look up where the fender liner was, what do you see? Can you see parts of the engine and transmission from the stuff? Yeah. So it's designed to keep mud, rocks
from getting in there.
You know, raccoons that could flung off the tires. And
right.
God knows, with you behind the wheel, it could be anything.
Further future parking barriers.
Exactly. So, you know, while it's not an immediate concern, I think it's something. And I think
you got to
fix it. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you can go and buy one at the dealer for not a whole lot of money and have your regular repair shop put it in the next time you go for an oil change.
Okay, great.
All right.
You got to do it.
Yeah. I hesitate to ask, so what were you doing that was so distracting?
I was listening to NPR. What else?
No, you're a liar.
Nice try.
No, I work at a college campus, and it's just always very busy. And so there were students, you know, I was trying to not hit anybody and trying to stay, you know, on my side, because there's always parking, you know, issues, and people are coming in and leaving. And
yeah, you weren't checking somebody out, were you?
I wasn't. No.
Well, I know, because I know a lot of guys will do this. Say, oh my God, look at
look at that!
I am not guilty.
Well, your secret is safe with us. Whatever that secret.
We won't tell anybody.
Right. Good. Don't tell my husband. Good.
No. That. Yeah. Especially.
Especially.
See you, Millette.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 888 Car Talk.
That's good.
She was checking out some football player. 888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. It's Donna from Baltimore.
Donna, what's going on?
Well, I need you to settle a bet for me. It has to do with road noise and tires.
Aha.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. What is it?
I have a 2010 Honda Fit. It has the original tires on it, and at the time, the road noise didn't bother me that much, but after driving it for a year and a half or so, it's really starting to bother me because it just sounds loud to me. My boyfriend is telling me that if I put new tires on the car, the road noise will go away, and I think he's nuts. So I'm calling you guys.
Do you have any other corroborating evidence to suggest that he really is nuts, or is this it?
We won't go to any of the rest of the
show. No. Well, we may have to delve into this. How many miles, Donna, are on your Fit?
I have 34,000 miles on it.
Oh, that's peanuts.
Well, that's what I thought. There's lots of tread left. There's plenty of oomph left in the tires. I'm looking at them. They look fine. I don't see any need to replace them, and I certainly don't want to replace them if I can avoid it. But I think my problem is I'm more accustomed to driving a larger car.
But when you bought the car, it was satisfactory. Is that not true?
It seemed fine at the time. I don't know if my tolerance has just gone down for it, and now I'm sick and tired of listening to the noise, or whether there
just,
really
just
is.
Just answer the question, witness. Yeah, I think your tires need to be replaced.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Don't forget, every manufacturer tries to put on the cheapest tires they can. And what happens to cheap tires is they wear unevenly.
Okay.
And one of the primary reasons the tires wear unevenly is either the suspension is faulty, like your bad struts, for example, or the tires deform at high speeds, and when they deform, they're no longer round. So I'm guessing you're driving this car at 75 or 80 miles an hour most of the time when you're on the highway. Just a guess.
Well, that would be illegal. I can't say I'm driving.
I know it would be illegal, but it's true. And when you drive cheap tires at high speeds and they get deformed, they wear out peculiarly because they're not making constant contact with the road. So after 34,000 miles, they're all choppy. And that's what's making the noise. And your boyfriend is right. I know this is gonna, this is killing you.
Oh, it's killing me. That means I have to take him out to dinner.
Oh, it could be worse.
You might have to take us out to dinner.
Plus, you gotta buy a set of tires.
Yeah, I gotta buy tires on top of it all. Thanks, guys.
Well, there is an alternative. You could break up with him, and you could buy yourself a pretty good sound system for what it's gonna cost you to get a set of tires.
Oh,
but the truth
God.
Is, you do need tires. If you bought four high quality tires for this thing, you would fall back in love with it.
Oh my God, I would not have believed that.
I know, and the worst part is you're going to have to listen. Instead of listening to the road noise, you're going to have to listen to a barrage of I told you so.
I knew it.
Yep, you're right. He's going to say, see?
And you can say, I love you, dear, but shut up.
Right.
Yeah, really. Shut up, I'll take you to dinner. Now get out of my face.
Yeah, but I think when you go to the tire shop and they look at these tires, they're going to say, oh yeah, you buy four new tires, you're going to fall in love with the car again.
Okay, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right. And
good luck.
Have fun, guys.
Take him to a nice place. Don't, you know, Burger King meal.
I will. I'll take him someplace good.
All right. See you, Donna.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, guys. This is Terry from downtown lovely Cedar Crest, New Mexico.
Where is Cedar Crest, New Mexico? What's that near?
Well, it's right outside of Albuquerque on the backside of the Sandia Crest, that big mountain that kind of looms over Albuquerque. It's on the backside, about 1,000 feet higher and 50 years slower.
Oh. So were you the guys in Cedar Crest that were exposed to the radiation from the atomic bomb blasts out there?
No, that was over on Trinity, but the way everybody acts, I think maybe they migrated over here or something, you know.
Anyway, what's going on, man?
Well, I've got some marital disputes here that I have got my wife. I caught her programming the divorce self-help line on speed dial. And I desperately
is that a good
need
thing?
To break a trend. Oh, well, no, because I've got some pretty deep history with that kind of stuff. So, I come to compete with you guys.
Compete with Tommy, not me. I'm a one-and-done guy.
I have five or six wives.
Simultaneously.
So I got a lot of experience. Yeah.
Well, what the story is we've got a brand new 2011 Toyota RAV4 sitting out there in the car driveway. It's got about 20 miles on it right now.
Wow.
And my problem is that I'm from the old school, back all the way to when I built my own car when I was transitioning out of high school, and my grandfather, who was a mechanic, helped me build an old Volvo 444.
Great.
And he told me way back then that all ailments and issues with a motor can always be tracked back to the first 500 miles of driving. Every broken ring, smoky valve, all goes back to keeping the car under 50 miles an hour the first 50 miles.
Uh-huh.
And that's really, really proven out well for me. When I bought my first Cougar, the manual said in there, it was a 1970 Cougar, and my first wife still has it running to this day.
Huh.
I had a 72 Spider, a Fiat 124 Spider, and I got 150,000 miles on that one, and even in that broken English owner's manual, it said, be nice for the first 500
miles. Be nice to your car. I think something like that.
I'm breaking your face.
Oh, absolutely. My 74 TR6, I balanced my own SU carburetors, and until my second wife wrecked it, it was running great.
So do you have any, other than the recent RAV4, any cars that were made in this century?
Well, actually, yeah. I got a 2003 Jeep Liberty, and my fourth lovely wife and I still have it at 198,000 miles.
This is your fourth and is your current wife?
Yeah.
Fourth and current. So you have
my last. So now we have the 2011 Toyota, and I don't know if it's because Toyota knows that Americans can't or won't read, that it's not even mentioned in the...
No. They're trying to, every manufacturer is trying to make the cars more fuel efficient. So they've left that page out of the owner's manual. if you're cutting down on the weight.
Yeah.
No, in fact, you'll hardly find anything in any owner's manuals now about an extensive break-in period except to admonish you to probably keep the speed under 60 or so for the first 1,000 miles. And other than that, there's nothing. We were taught, and you were probably too, that it was important to vary the speed a lot.
Oh, yeah,
and to never
yeah.
drive it more than an hour that first day that you drive it without letting it cool off. So you drive it for an hour, vary the speed, and if you had any passengers, by the time you finished the first two or three rounds of this, they were all throwing up on themselves.
That's the test.
But those were the days, Terry, when the pistons and the rings and everything were like hand-forged with rocks and anvils, you know, and they weren't using modern manufacturing methods. Now, you know, engines are made with such incredibly close tolerances. So whether you buy a Chevrolet now or Chrysler or a Toyota, it's pretty much the same. You don't have to spend a whole lot of time breaking a car in. Although the one thing you don't want to do is to drive the thing at 90 miles an hour for the first 300 miles.
Okay.
By the way, those early cars on which you did it
right.
certainly benefited those cars. And if you do it on this 2011 RAV, which you want to do it to, I'm sure, and this is the reason it only has 20 miles on it, because you won't let the wife drive it unless she drives it your way.
Well, she looks over and sees me over there having conniptions and breaking out in hot sweats whenever she's getting close to 50 miles an hour.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to take over. Because if anything ever goes wrong with it, she'll never hear the end of it.
That's right.
Right? So if you wanted to tell her, look, hon, what's the current wife's name, or are you numbering them?
That's Caroline.
Caroline, that's a wonderful name.
Tell sweet Caroline that you need to do this because it will take her off the hook.
Okay.
If anything goes wrong 100,000 miles from now, you won't be able to point at her if she's still around and say, see what you did to our car? So tell Caroline that you should be allowed to break it in, but 1,000 miles, Terry, is more than enough. Don't you think so, Tomas?
Absolutely.
Cool.
All right. See you, man.
Well, some success.
Good luck. Good luck with number four, Terry. And number five, if there ever is.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. It's time to take a very short break. And when we come back, I'll have the answer to last week's puzzle.
Yes. Last week's puzzle.
Now, is there any chance that you remember it?
Any chance? Yes, there is.
Really? Any realistic chance?
No.
That's what I figured. Well, it was about a traveling salesman and his altitude.
Altitude.
Yep. And we'll be back with the answer and more of your car questions in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our new pop-up Christmas tree store, conveniently located in the middle of the Muir Woods, from NPR, NPR member stations, and
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence at TRowePrice.com.
And the Healthy Back Store, offering the Car Cush seat support and other travel and back care products. Learn more at HealthyBack.com. And
Lumber Liquidators,
offering a variety of sustainably harvested flooring, including pre-finished and stained,
at LumberLiquidators.com.
And even though people who live in first floor apartments buy their upstairs neighbors wooden clogs and how to tap dance videos whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members. From The Wine Chap, Nashville's unique accent on wine and spirits, in Hill Center Belle Mead next to Publix. Weekly featured selections are available by email. Information is online at thewinechap.com. And the Ryman Auditorium, presenting A Celtic Christmas December 14th at 7:30, featuring Irish singer Kathy Jordan, who has appeared on A Prairie Home Companion. Tickets are available now at ryman.com.
Thank you.
Researchers at Vanderbilt University plan to study the effects of an approved medication on weight loss and are looking for overweight individuals with type 2 diabetes between the ages of 31 and 60 to participate in the weight loss trial. Qualification requirements are at 615-936-8898, and an online survey is at numeral4diabetesstudy.com.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler, and here it is.
Yeah.
This is a puzzler about a traveling salesman, a guy who sells nuts and bolts. He was telling a story about when he was first a salesman, you know, like 30 years ago, and he must have done something awful, because for all those years, he's been assigned to the territory that includes towns like Moose Jaw, Maine, and Freeze Your Butt, New Hampshire. Way up in the northern tier, you know.
Yeah.
Now, when he's traveling, he often finds himself looking for cheap motels, and he began to notice a disturbing trend. When he would stop at these motels, oftentimes the owner slash clerk would have him fill out that little card with your name, address, you know, in case you leave in the middle of the night, they can try to track you down.
Yeah, as though you're going to, if you were planning to do that, you'd put down your real name and address.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe you would by mistake, you know, force of habit. And on some of these cards, he was asked for his occupation. And when he filled in salesman, he was always assigned a room on the second floor, if there was a second floor.
Wow.
So I asked him, why do they always put salesman on the second floor? Does it have anything to do with the kind of car you drove? And he said, well, at the time, I would say so. He said, I was driving a VW. And when he gave me that piece of information, I knew the answer.
So driving a VW has...
You got to look for all the little hints. It was like 30 years ago.
Second floor.
He's a salesman. He drives a lot. He's concerned about getting what now? Come on. You can do it,
gasoline.
Tommy. Yeah, he's concerned about getting good what? Mileage.
Mileage. Yeah.
So he buys himself a Volkswagen, but not just any old Volkswagen. He buys himself the car that gets the best mileage. He buys himself a Volkswagen diesel. And because he's in Moose Jaw, Maine, and Freeze Your Butt, New Hampshire in the wintertime, he's got to plug the thing in overnight. Otherwise, it won't start. And the reason they put him on the second floor all the time is so they could see the extension cord that he had run from his motel room.
Oh, no!
And they would unplug it on him in the middle of the night. So if you were a salesperson
flying
your trade at that time,
boy,
you often got unplugged.
That's gotta be about the worst answer. That was impossible to figure out.
All the hints were there. Started selling nuts and bolts 30 years ago, cold part of the country.
Hints? You call those hints?
Well, I had to obfuscate and, you know.
You call those hints?
Well, I got it. Well, Volkswagen.
No,
huh?
Oh, brother.
Hey.
That's beautiful. Even though we didn't have any winners, we had to choose.
We did have a winner this week.
Because we chose from among all the losers.
Well, this was the guy that actually was the salesman.
That's how he did it. He's the guy who was telling you the story.
He's the
only one who knew the answer.
Well,
and his name is Scott Kunzel. He's from Crete,
Nebraska.
Oh, Crete, Nebraska. And for having his incorrect answer, selected at random from all the other incorrect answers that we got, Scott's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which he can get a brand new Car Talk micro fleece pullover.
What the hell is that?
I don't know.
Is it something you wear, or is it something you take pills to get rid of?
It's like a sweater, I think.
Oh, yeah. Except no sheep were harmed. Right?
Right.
Only Coke bottles, I guess. Anyway, yeah. Scott, the Car Talk micro fleece pullover is yours if you want it for being this week's puzzler winner. We'll have a new puzzler later on. But first, if you have a question for us about your car, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Melissa calling from Madison, Wisconsin.
Melissa from Madison. What's going on, Melissa from Madison?
Well, I have a 2004 Ford Freestar minivan. About 3 weeks ago, the air compressor went out on the air conditioner.
Uh-huh.
And we took it to our mechanic, and he quoted us $1,250.
I was going to just guess. I was going to say $1,300.
So, actually, I'm calling not really because I want to know about, you know, what we should do, but rather...
You want a loan?
No, because my husband thinks that he can fix it himself.
Does his fix involve blocks of ice?
Yes, because we're in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And we do not have a garage. Oh. He's already looked up the problem online, and he already found the part for $150.
Oh, he found a used compressor.
Probably.
Probably. Yeah, that's about the right price.
And he has already confessed that it requires taking out the alternator.
Yeah.
Which frightens me deeply.
Make sure he wears rubber-soled shoes.
Actually, I was more concerned about the car than his health, but now that you mention it, that would also be kind of frightening as well.
No, he can probably do this.
Okay, let me just continue.
Go ahead, because I'm sure you have a whole list of concerns.
I am.
And we'll try to allay your fears as best we can, Melissa.
Okay, well, it also requires purging the system, and we don't really know what that means.
Well, they may have done that already, but we'll get to that, okay?
Okay, and then the other thing is I'm 9 months pregnant, and our third child is due in 3 weeks.
Oh,
that explains why you have a freestyle.
Oh, yes. And the thing is, we need it to be fixed. Even though it's the winter, we can't run our defrost without the air, it turns out.
You can, but it works a heck of a lot better with the AC.
Uh-huh.
But you can run the defrost without the AC working. So you could just, for example, if you wanted to, you could just leave everything exactly the way it is until after the baby's born and all that, and then your husband can go ahead and put the compressor in.
Before
we go on, what else has he done around the house that he thinks or you think might either qualify or disqualify him for this show? What's the most impressive thing he's done in your estimation? Pretty hard question,
I mean,
huh?
He's jacked up our house and replaced the foundation. He's extremely handy.
Oh, if he's extremely handy, he can do this.
He can do it, yeah.
No! I think you ought to do this like Christmas Eve.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking, you know. He'll get out, and also, we have no garage. We have no, you know, heat, no power out where he'll be fixing the car right now in Madison. So.
Yeah. Does he have a friend that has a garage?
Yeah, we could probably find
I would do that. So here's the deal. Taking the alternator out is no big deal because the first step in doing any of these kinds of repairs is to disconnect the battery.
Okay.
So if he disconnects the negative terminal of the battery, there's nothing he can do with the alternator that's going to kill him.
Okay, but what about killing the car?
Not going to kill the car.
No.
Okay.
No. What are you worried about? Everything here? So that's item number one. Now, there may be a refrigerant in the system, and there probably is. And if he opens the lines, the stuff is going to escape. He needs to go to a facility and have them suck out the refrigerant.
Oh, okay.
So he's going to go to the place. They're going to suck out all the stuff. He's going to take out the compressor then, after taking out the alternator. He's going to put the new compressor in, and he's going to drive back to these guys. And for $125, they're going to put new refrigerant in and tell him that the used compressor he bought is no good. But he'll be able to do the second one in no time at all. But that's the whole process. And if he can accomplish this for $300 or $400, that's a pretty good deal.
Oh, I can't believe it.
I know. I'm sorry we sided with him. We couldn't help it. He's a member of the club, Melissa.
Oh.
Yeah, he's one of us.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
I know. He's also going to be replacing our septic system this summer.
I'd be much more concerned about that.
I know.
Yeah.
I may push him in.
That'll do it.
That'll teach him. That'll learn him. Well, good luck with that. And congratulations on your third child.
Thank you.
And do a good job, but try to do a better job at this. No, never mind. Have fun.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Good work. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He sounds like a heck of a lot of fun. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Paul calling you from Little Elm, Texas.
Hey, Paul, from where the heck is Little Elm, Texas?
Well, it's just north of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex in Denton County.
Oh, okay.
Oh, of course. We knew that.
Oh, you knew that.
We had no idea.
So what's going on, Paul?
Well, I've got a 2001 Cadillac Eldorado ETC.
Uh-huh.
And I love this car primarily because it's paid for.
Okay.
For some time now, 6 to 9 months, I've started hearing a low rumbling noise and a vibration in the steering wheel, but I primarily hear it. I work at a hospital, and I park in a parking garage. And as I'm going down the parking garage, you know, I go to the end, and I'm making a 180-degree right turn. So as I'm turning the wheel to make this turn, I feel and hear this kind of low, rumbling sound coming, seems from the front end, and I feel it in the steering wheel. I've taken it to my mechanic, and we can't get it to reproduce out on the road.
You have to take him to the parking garage.
Well, he don't want to drive that far.
He doesn't want to go. Okay.
But when you straighten it out, the noise goes away?
Yeah.
So not only is this a sharp turn, but it's banked as well. Is that true?
A little bit. I'm not going very fast. It's, you know, it's a parking garage. I can't, you know, do the Mario Andretti thing. But,
yeah. And, of course, it never makes the sound going up the ramp.
Occasionally, but not consistently. It's most consistently going down.
Make the sound again for us.
You clearing your throat, or is that the sound?
Clearing my throat. Yeah, that's the sound.
That's the sound.
Yeah.
All right, now let's try to be imaginative here. what you need? So, and you're sure it's coming from the when you're making this right turn? Is the noise coming from the left front wheel?
I guess if I thought about it, probably a little more from the right side than the left.
So, if you took the thing into a parking lot, for example, that was
What if you took a left turn?
He'd crash into the wall.
Never heard of the left turn. I took my mechanic over to a parking lot. We zipped around. I chased some people with their grocery carts. And, you know, I did a lot of things trying to recreate it.
Do you feel anything unusual in the brake pedal when this is happening?
No.
Let me give you time to reconsider here, Paul.
Let me think.
Well, here's what comes... No, you're thinking no, huh? Well, here's what comes to mind. If you had an anti-lock brake sensor that was sending an erroneous signal... It would happen at low speeds, and it would happen under the kinds of circumstances you describe here, and it could actually make the anti-lock brakes kick in a little bit, and you'd get that kind of sound that you get when the anti-lock brakes are really working.
Right. No, I don't feel that jitter in the brake pedal. I know what you're talking about.
So you might ask him to just lab scope the, or maybe see if there are any service bulletins on faulty ABS sensors in this car.
Well, I do feel a vibration in the steering wheel.
Yeah, you could be getting it from an ABS sensor still. You know, you could, there are lots of other things you could be, not the least of which is that your tire may be hitting the plastic fender liner when you're making this real sharp turn.
Okay.
And that would make the noise, and you'd feel that in the steering wheel.
Okay.
So ask them to look for any evidence of abrasion on the insides of the tires.
Okay.
But have them check those ABS sensors.
All right.
I think we extricated ourselves extremely well from this.
I think you have exonerated yourself from all future impunity.
Well, let's see what happens. Let's see how you make out. Good luck, Paul.
Okay,
good luck,
I'll be Paul. Calling you back if it's not right.
Oh, I'm
right?
Sure you will.
We'll
get in line. see you later, man. 888.
I wonder if we have more calls.
You don't want to know. You don't ask.
No, but I'm wondering about it. You know what it
is. No, don't ask. A good lawyer never asks a question he doesn't know the answer. He sure doesn't know the answer to. And we know the answer to that question.
Do.
We don't want it answered.
Okay.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hello. How are you?
We're Hi. Great. Who's this?
This is Molly, and I'm from Elgin, Texas.
Hi, Molly.
Hi, Molly.
From Elgin, Texas. I don't know where Elgin, Texas is.
Just east of Austin.
You sound like you're beautiful.
Oh, you just made my day.
Oh, you old charmer, you. He said that to me this morning, too.
I did not.
So what's up, Molly?
Well, I have a bit of a dispute with my boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you got a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Takes care of that.
So when we go driving, he gets really, really upset with other drivers that don't follow the rules. Like, they don't use their blinker.
Mm-hmm.
He gets really, really angry.
Oh.
And I just kind of blow it off. So the other day, we were headed to my mother's, and he didn't use his blinker. And I said, are you kidding me? And he said, well, there's nobody around, and I want to save the mechanism of the blinker. So if I don't use that money...
No, he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, so to speak, and he's trying to weasel out of it.
Absolutely. Well, that's what I thought. But we, of course, had a little argument, and he said, no, you know, I've had a car where the blinker mechanism went out. And I thought to myself, well, how old was that car?
What a crisis that is, too.
Well, it is, because then he'd have to use his arm.
Or get the thing fixed.
So the question...
Well, the argument about wearing out the directional switches, it has some validity, but it's bogus. I mean, the switch is there, and it's supposed to be able to go through tens of thousands of cycles. And in most cars, the thing never, ever breaks.
Exactly.
So the fact that he had one car in which it broke is a weak argument. And then the fact that there was nobody around, how did he know that?
Well, that's what I said. I said there was a guy actually about to turn from a driveway, but he didn't see him. And so I said, that guy would have been you, and you would have been really mad at yourself because he didn't know you were turning.
Yeah.
And now I thought it was bogus. I am so glad that you all think it's bogus.
Oh, I think it's bogus. Yeah, I know. He got caught being a phony. That's what it boils down to. And I think you ought to press this as much as you can. Yeah, and I think, well, first of all, the next time he acts up when someone else breaks the rules or doesn't obey the rules, you have to remind him of his little blinker transgression.
I love that. A blinker transgression. And I could probably use that for years.
But I don't know. He's the kind of guy who doesn't like to be corrected, maybe.
Well, I just think that we all like to be right. And when it comes to driving, he prefers himself driving than to me because we have different styles of driving. So I think you're right. He doesn't like to be corrected because he is probably the better driver.
He is.
I'm sure he thinks he is.
Except, of course, for the blinker transgression.
Does he always drive when the two of you are together?
Pretty much. I prefer it, actually, because he doesn't like the way I drive, and so he'll say a few things, and I just like to avoid that and be the passenger.
Okay, well, good luck with this. But I wouldn't hesitate to remind him the next time he goes off on somebody that, he who is without sin should not be casting the first stone or something like that.
No, I'm going to just say it's the BT. It's the blinker
transgression. The
BT,
the blinker transgression. He'll know what you're talking about. Good luck.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, bye-bye.
See you, Molly. All right, it's time to take a short break.
Another one?
Well, we're trying to add more of the stuff that people like, which means less of us.
Yeah, the breaks are very popular.
Indeed. But look, when we come back, I'll have this week's brand new puzzle, which is from my road trip series. You're going to love it, I think. I don't know. So stay tuned for that and more of your calls. We'll be back in a minute.
Got a Plymouth Duster, baby. Slant six, she's running fine. Got a Plymouth Duster, baby. Slant six, she's running so fine. On the eyes, like a pair of shoes on a telephone line.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from the monthly stipend bicycle shops give us for staying in the car repair business from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Esurance,
offering mobile apps that let users submit accident claims at the scene.
More at esurance.com.
And Lumber Liquidators, with hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring, a floor finder app, and information online, lumberliquidators.com. And
the Pajamagram Company,
offering hoodie footy PJs, footed pajamas with a hood,
at pajamagram.com. And
Quick Lane Tire and Auto Centers, providing service for cars and trucks without an appointment, including evenings and weekends. Details at quicklane.com.
And even though mechanics walk over and turn on their air compressors whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members, from the Bridgestone America's Trust Fund, working to improve the quality of life in Middle Tennessee by supporting groups dedicated to the environment by protecting wildlife, woods, and waterways. From Solar Insulation, specializing in pale and optically clear window film designed to conserve energy and reduce fading on rugs, fabrics, and furniture since 1975. Information is at solarinsulation.com or 329-2500. And support comes from the Southern Environmental Law Center, a nonprofit working to defend Tennessee's environment through the power of the law. Information on endangered places, including the Cumberland Plateau, is at southernenvironment.org. ¶¶
Back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And, of course, we're here to talk about cars, car repair, but right now, the new Puzzler.
Go ahead, man. I'm ready.
All right. Here it is. This was sent in by, if I knew this fellow were Italian, I would say his name is Sam Gerace. But
it's not.
No, I don't know if not. Sam Gerace, we'll call him.
Okay.
And I did say it's from my road trip series.
Yeah.
And here goes. Last summer, with gasoline prices at about the highest level in history, my wife and I decided it was the perfect time for a family cross-country road trip. With three kids in tow, we knew that that games and diversions would be essential in heading off any homicidal tendencies that might bubble up, you know? So for about 500 miles or so, we passed lots of time trying to find a license plate from every state.
Oh.
So we first made a list of all the states. And the co-pilot, whoever that was, would cross off one each time we saw a matching plate.
Yeah.
After a while, we tired of that. And so we moved on to quizzing each other on our knowledge of state names. For example, my wife asked how many states begin with the letter V. And the kids came up with Vermont and Virginia. And I asked which state had the most letters in it. One kid said North Carolina. It has 13. And another kid piped up and said, oh, so does South Carolina. My wife studied the list for a bit while I was driving and asked the following question. Name the states that have only four letters in their names. Well, kid number one, the oldest, says Iowa. Right, we all agreed. And then from kid number two, we heard Utah. Right again.
That's
right,
good.
That's
yeah.
Right again. Then it happened. Kid number three, the youngest one, the five-year-old, sitting in the way back.
Yeah.
Named a state that took all of us by surprise. At first, we all kind of jumped on her and said, no, silly, that's not right. But then we realized that she was right. And the question is, what state did she name? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a Sharper Image crossbow snowball launcher. Ooh, I like it. With snowball delivery distance of 60 feet. I'm trying to save my rotator cuff this winter. It's been kind of rough the last couple of years. And send it along with a snowball press and a set of plexiglass riot gear, size medium, to Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Now, if you have a question for us, give us a call. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Matt from St. Albans, Vermont. How you doing?
We're great. What's going on? How can we help you?
Well, I guess I'm seeking your permission to ignore a problem.
Okay.
What's going on is I drive an 06 Toyota Tacoma, and the roads are especially rough here now, and when I'm bouncing along the road having a great time, the keys fall out of the ignition, and the truck keeps going, and everything's fine. And then when I get to my destination, I take the keys off the floor, put them back in the ignition, and shut it off, and everything's golden.
Perfect.
Is that okay to ignore?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, that was the shortest call on record. See you later, man.
As long as you don't have any holes in the floor.
Yeah, I mean, it's not rusted through yet, so I'm pretty good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think the key is probably falling out because the key may be worn out. Do you have 1,000 keys in your key ring?
Yeah, I do, and I actually got another key for the truck, figuring that was the problem, and it sort of helped for a while, but not very long, and it started happening again.
Yeah, well, you have probably damaged your lock.
Okay.
The ignition lock. If you had the new key made from the old key,
yeah,
it may not be a lot better. You need a crisp new key.
Okay.
But on the other hand, you can just leave it like this. In fact, it's a great thing if you can take the key out at will. You can turn the car on,
yeah.
Take the key out,
yeah,
and let it warm up. without worrying that someone's going to be able to steal the car and restart it ever.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'd leave it just the way it is.
Oh, great.
Thanks for your call, Matt.
All right, thanks so much. All right,
bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, boys.
Hello.
My name is Jill. I'm from Laramie, Wyoming.
You a cattle person?
No, I'm just a grad student in the geography department.
Geography.
Geography.
I mean, what do geographers do? Isn't pretty much the whole planet been all kind of mapped out?
Oh, no. We've got plenty of work to do.
Really?
I teach physical geography. I spend days telling students about the difference between latitude and longitude, how to read topo maps, and what comes out of volcanoes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you haven't explored any places called Terra Incognita or anything like
that? No.
All right. Well, anyway, Jill, what's going on?
Here's the deal.
Yeah, go ahead.
One of the few distractions in my life these days is my weekly horseback riding lesson. This happens at a ranch a couple of miles out of town. Usually I park my 2005 Jeep Liberty near the barn, and since the weather at 7,200 feet is pretty severe, we usually ride indoors, so we can't see what the other horses out in the pasture are up to.
Oh, so you're riding in a barn.
Yes, inside.
And the other horses outside are...
They're just wandering around.
Wandering around, yeah.
Well, anyway, last week I came out of the barn after my lesson, and there were several horses gathered around the front of my truck. So I shooed them away so I could leave, but then I looked at the hood, and I was pretty horrified to see there were teeth marks all over it.
Teeth marks?
Horse teeth marks all over my trunk's hood.
Really?
And drool. Yeah. This is my question. What is going on with automotive paint that horses want to gnaw on it?
How in the world would you have expected us to know the answer to this?
Dudes, you know something about chemistry.
We do, but paints have changed, so it may not be the paint. It may be something that's on the hood. But look, we have...
What else could it be, though?
Well, we happen to have on our staff, and we can reach her by phone, I believe, a woman named Kieran Lindsay, who's our wildlife biologist.
Yeah.
And behaviorist. And can we get her on the phone?
Hey, sounds great to me.
Give us a second, Jill. We'll get Kieran on the phone, and we'll see if she can shed some light on it. You can tell her the story, and Tom and I will go out for sandwiches.
Okay.
And so hang on, and we'll see if we can reach her, because we haven't really got a clue.
Maybe
she will.
Yeah.
Kieran?
Hello, this is Kieran.
Hi, this is Tom and Ray, and we have Jill on the line, who's called us from Laramie, Wyoming. And we'll let Jill explain what's going on with her Jeep Liberty.
Hi, Karen.
Okay.
I came out of my riding lesson a couple weeks ago, and I found horse teeth marks all over my truck's hood. Horses were chewing on it, particularly the three-dimensional parts of the hood, and they left deep scratches all over it. I want to know, can you tell me why horses want to chew on paint? What's in that? Is it like horse crack?
Well, you know, horses are very social animals, so the first thing I was thinking is it a Mustang? I need to... But I think what's really happening here is that horses are very curious, but, you know, they don't have hands. So when they are trying to explore their environment, they do have very sensitive lips. And so it's not really that uncommon for them to check things out with their mouths. Also, you know, farms and ranches now do more on motorized vehicles than they do on horseback. And a lot of animals, including horses, come to associate the vehicles that are on a ranch with food. And
okay.
So, you know, if this thing that is in the pasture delivers hay and it delivers grain, maybe it's edible itself. So I think that what they're trying to do is really just explore their environment, and also they could just be bored. You know, I mean, there's a couple reasons why people and other things eat. Hunger is one of them. Curiosity is another, and boredom. You know, we all eat because we
got nothing else to do.
This is true.
Oh, so you need to bring a TV so they can watch television while you're having your lesson.
You know, a lot of these cars have video players inside the car. Maybe you could put on something like My Friend Flicka or Black Beauty or
Mr. Ed.
They'd be so fascinated with the program that they'd leave your car alone.
Okay. From now on, I'm going to be parking the car on the other side of a cattle guard.
I think that's a good idea. Because, you know, even if they decide that your car doesn't taste that good, there are other damage possibilities to the car, some permanent, some not so much. One would be that they might, shall we say, unload on your car.
Okay, it's time to say goodbye now, Karen.
I don't know how careful you are about your car, but, you know, driving from your riding lesson to the car wash could be considerably more attention-grabbing than a couple of bird slaps.
And aromatic, too.
Thanks, Karen.
Karen, thanks for your help.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we'll be in touch.
Okay, that's good.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Jill, you still there?
I am. You know, I do have one other question, guys.
We hung up on Kira.
I mean, should I have this fixed? Like, some people say this is a Wyoming badge of honor to have horse teeth marks.
Well, yeah, well, you know, did they take the paint off? Is it down to bare metal?
Yeah.
You got to fix it because it's going to rust.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Western coolness factor has to get addressed.
Yeah. Well, you may find out that you need a new hood.
Oh, that should be easy enough.
And if it is a new hood you need, then you can leave it, because if it rusts, then you replace the hood anyway.
Okay, yeah, good deal. Okay.
Yeah, so go to a body shop, find out what their assessment of the situation is. If they say, we can't fix this, it's cheaper to put a new hood on it, then just leave it. Yeah, who knows? By the time your riding lessons are over,
the car might be a piece of junk.
Right, they may have demolished it by then. So don't worry about it. They'll jump that fence.
Okay, I won't.
Be careful.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, bye bye.
Thanks for your call. Bye bye. Well, that was a lot of fun. Just give me an idea, though.
Uh oh.
Well, I mean,
like
we didn't know the answer to Jill's question.
No,
we didn't. We called Karen. What if we lined up a bunch of other experts that knew?
Oh,
like people that knew stuff about cars.
Yeah.
Now we could
go home.
Or they could fire us. A bad idea.
They're thinking of that anyway.
That's true. 888 Car Talk. That's 888. We don't want to give them any ideas.
No.
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Peter, and I am calling from Brooklyn.
Peter from Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn, New York.
Ah, what's up, Peter?
Well, I have a 2008 Volkswagen Passat wagon. And I take it you guys have seen some videos of turkey fryer disasters on the internet?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we have. In fact, not only have we seen some, we've been in some.
Well, I have my own type of turkey fryer disaster. We fried a turkey up in Connecticut, and I didn't want to stick my uncle with all the oil, so I put it into a big pickle barrel, and I brought it back down to Brooklyn. I was driving around with this stupid bucket of oil for a couple days.
Oh, no.
I could have taken it out, but I didn't.
Oh, no.
And I turned a hard left when I saw the light on the next block turn red, and I heard it go over, and it was just an oi.
Glug, glug, and glug, glug.
It wasn't
glug.
Even a glug, glug, glug. It was a
push.
Yeah, all 5 gallons in the trunk of my car. So needless to say, my car stinks like a, you know, spent turkey fryer oil disaster.
And
they detailed it, they shampooed it, but there's still oil seeping out.
This is corroborating evidence that no good deed goes unpunished. Isn't that true? I mean, you could have just left the stuff there and your uncle would have been stuck with it and he would have figured out what to do with it.
Ain't that the truth?
Ain't that the truth?
So, I've had a few friends tell me things to do, you know, could just, right now I have newspaper down and it's seeping through the newspaper, and I've had friends tell me to put cornstarch.
Has anyone suggested gasoline and a Zippo lighter?
And run like hell?
But here's my concern. A, can it cause any, aside from aesthetic and stinky damage, can it cause any serious damage to the car? Because I have the 2008 and I just bought it off lease a few months ago, and my plan is when the 2013 wagon Passat model comes out to trade in and lease that.
I don't think you'd be able to. You won't be able to stand the smell that long. Yeah, you want to go for the 2012.
Well, luckily, we're going into winter, so I can't imagine the oil's going to go rancid. But
no, it's not going to go rancid. You know what you can try, which we use to pick up oil spills at the garage, and this is an oil spill. It's not the same kind of oil, obviously, but
right.
We use something called Speedy Dry, which is essentially kitty litter.
Huh.
And you can buy yourself a 40-pound bag or whatever, or you could just buy a bag of kitty litter. And
right.
And what you can do is fill up the whole trunk pretty much with the kitty litter, and as you keep moving it around, it will absorb. It's incredibly absorbent. It's clay, basically.
Right.
So, and what you would do is you would take the stuff out after a while, and then vacuum out what you couldn't sweep out. and then you'd do a sniff test, and then you'd put more in there until you finally were satisfied that whatever metal surfaces had been wet by this oil were now dry.
Gotcha.
So this is the spare time. What else? Of course, all the carpeting in there, you threw that out already.
Well, the carpeting is sort of part of the car. It's not like carpets that I can lift out. It's, you know, it's that the whole floor is sort of that carpety material.
No, that comes out.
That comes out.
Yeah, I mean they didn't make the metal with the rug already on it. So all that stuff comes out, and you have to.
Okay.
If you don't get that out, you're never ever going to get the smell out. And then things are going to, it's going to be like a biology experiment, man.
Oof.
Things are going to start growing in there that you've never seen before.
No one has ever seen before.
We definitely want that.
Strange kinds of turkey-shaped mushrooms. You can't even imagine.
Well, maybe, you know what, maybe it'll be good mushrooms that I can put in my stuffing next year.
Maybe. You may get lucky. But I would try the Speedy Dry.
Okay.
And then, you know, the other thing you could try...
This is going to be bad.
No. There are companies, one of which is called, I think, Service Master. And if your house had a fire or you had some kind of a spill or something like this, they come and they make your house smell good again. You might want to call them and see if they'll take your car in after they stop laughing.
So,
good luck, man.
Thanks.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Hope we've given you some help.
Thanks.
Or hope, anyway. See you later.
Thanks so much, gentlemen. Thank you.
Take it easy. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchard. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kira McKnight. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the West Nagasaki Shrimp Teriyaki, Hot Running Sake, Beef Negimaki, Cold Sukiyaki, Fresh Tuna Maki, Fried Dashitaki, Do These Pants Make Me Look Stocky, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our TSA screener is Pat Matukas. Our assertiveness training coach is Low Esteem. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the distracted concrete pourers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1150, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a new way to view our website.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do when you're in a hurry to waste time? Good question, huh?
Great question.
Well, we've added an editor's pick section to our homepage so we can point you in the direction of the newest and most time-waste-worthy material, because the last thing we want you to do is waste your valuable time when you're trying to waste your valuable time.
Yeah, what he said.
Check out the editor's picks anytime over at cartalk.com.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
the Charles Hotel in Harvard Square, whose Korobu Spa and Salon uses locally sourced ingredients to craft scrubs and lotions, korobuspa.com. And
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence at TRowePrice.com. And
Goodyear, where designing tires from the moon to the racetrack inspires what goes into tires for everyday driving. Goodyear, more driven.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though stem cells pray they don't develop into ears whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for WPLN comes from Dickinson Wright, a full-service law firm with nearly 300 attorneys practicing in more than 40 areas. Primary offices in Nashville, Michigan, Phoenix, Las Vegas, Washington, D.C., and Toronto. Information is online at dickinsonwright.com. From Alive Hospice, providing compassionate care to patients and families in a variety of settings since 1975, helping to keep families close and where they want to be. Information for patients and their doctors is at alivehospice.org. And Hallmark Volkswagen at Cool Springs, featuring a vehicle line with 9 Insurance Institute for Highway Safety picks, including the new 2012 Passat manufactured in Chattanooga. Information is online at vwcoolsprings.com. This is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule for all of our programs.